Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, how to use your work notes, part one of two.
The questions that this cast answers are, why should professionals take notes at work? What should I do with my notes after I've taken them? And how can I put my notes to long-term use?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Did you know that all of our paid licenses now offer a coupon so you can save $50 to $150 on training with your new license purchase? It's true. Grab a license and save money on training or other products to grow your skills. More details are available at manager-tools.com/licenses.
Amanda, you and I have been recording these podcasts for I don't know how long, and it occurred to me a few weeks ago when we were writing, when we were recording, that we said for the 80 billionth time, take notes in this kind of meeting or take these kind of notes. And we never, ever told people what to do with their notes or why we thought they should take notes and what's the purpose and what are you going to do with them afterwards? Like, how do you make them into something useful? So I thought we would write that cast, we would give that guidance. So in today's cast, we're going to talk about six ways you can use your notes after you've taken them.
So what we're going to cover in this cast is document your system, then reduce your cognitive load, use notes to learn, and then use notes to make improvements, also drive actions and follow-ups. Last but not least, record your achievements.
So first up, we have document your system, your way of doing work. What we're encouraging you to do is turn your notes into process documents. Most of us make notes when we first start a process, either if we're learning it from someone else or we're creating a new process, but then we leave them and they become like little orphan notes with just like a few words on a piece of paper or text docs called Untitled 3, DDD, because you already had four Untitled 3s and it wouldn't let you save the same name. Because we don't think, for various reasons, that we need the process documented. I do this every day. Why would I want to document it, right? I've learned it now. Why do I need to document it? Well, there's reasons.
And there are really good reasons for these documenting systems, even the ones that you use every day. Because as Wendy said, we think that we're going to remember it and we don't. Like a week later, can't remember how to do that. So first, they help you create consistency in your work. This consistency makes tasks go faster to complete and easier to use. On days when you're not feeling your best, even routine tasks can feel difficult. In these moments, a process document can be a gift from past you. Because there's always that one step you're like, oh, it's not coming to me today. And past you was great at it.
Yeah. Or it could be an email, like the answer to an email question where you've saved the answer. And you save yourself the 15 minutes of trying to remember what was the keyword that I put in that email that I can find it, because it's in your list of documented answers to questions. It could be somebody yesterday was looking for a password. It's like, do you not have a password manager? But even then, sometimes they don't always work, and having at least a clue where I left that, we obviously don't want you to put passwords, write them down, put them in unsafe places. But sometimes all you need is a clue because you didn't follow your normal practice. For example, maybe it's something you need to log into and your username isn't your email address. It's something different, which is, 90% of the time it's your email address. And then when you're having a bad day and you can't remember why isn't this system letting me in? It's for that reason. Even daily stuff, even stuff you do fairly frequently, having documentation for it can save you time and effort and energy.
And there are those activities that fall into what we like to say the horseman's Christmas rule. So those important but infrequent tasks that we tend to perform poorly because we don't do them often enough to build competence. We are usually convinced that the moment we do them, that we'll remember how the next time. Only to not be very surprised when we don't.
Yes.
Because as much as you think you're going to remember, you don't. And process documents are really useful here. So it's all those things that you might do. You think you do it consistent enough or they're really important, so you're definitely going to remember next time. And then you don't. And that's where you have to have a system in place to help you. Even under the best circumstances. Sometimes even a month out, we don't remember.
I always think of that horseman's Christmas rule and think of Christmas lights. Who is the person that just put them in the box all tangled up lost?
It was me.
Right. Yeah. And then you hate yourself and you tell yourself on the 1st of December and you're getting out the Christmas lights. I am not going to do that this time. And then you do it anyway. So, yeah. And the other reason you might want process documents, especially for relatively common things, is not just for you. They could be for other people when you're absent because you have a planned reason, like you're on vacation, or an unplanned reason, like an illness or an accident, or you just can't come to work that day. It's really hard to describe what needs to be done when you're not in front of the screen doing it. Maggie was asking me yesterday about how to change somebody had got married and their name had changed, and she was trying to change it so her email showed the right email name when she put in her email address. And I was like, no, you have to Zoom. I can't do this without looking at it. It's really hard. And anytime you say you just go to the right hand corner and you click on the 9 boxes, and she's like, what 9 boxes? I always think of that bit as the 9 boxes, but not everybody describes things the same way. Or anytime you say you've probably just skipped a whole bunch of steps that you don't even realize you do until you document things. And then you have to say, oh, it's that image. And somebody will say, oh, I thought that was a tic-tac-toe board. So documentation with images, now you can do that too, is really helpful.
And there's so many more steps than we realize when we do something so automatic. When we're trying to explain to someone, we're like, oh yeah, just go here. And you're like, there's actually 4 steps to get there. But that's fine that you don't know those yet.
And I'm slightly synesthetic. I have synesthesia. So I will say, open the green spreadsheet. And nobody knows what that means. But for some reason, in my head, spreadsheets have colors. And websites have colors and things. And so open the yellow one. And that doesn't help anybody. So proper documentation can be really useful.
And then thirdly, process documents become invaluable when you want someone to take over from you so you can move into a new role. Even if you think that time is far off, create the process documents now. It's not just a skill that's as easy as you might think.
Creating process documents is more of a skill, and it's more difficult than you think it is. In part for that reason, like, we think of things in certain ways, and other people don't think of them, or we skip things because we don't notice ourselves doing those steps. That's why creating them are harder than we think it is. So even if you don't think, oh, I don't need these process documents now, I'm not going to go on vacation, I'm not going to get sick, I'm not going to need a new job, whatever. If you do it now, you start to practice and build that skill of building documents, then you'll have it when you need it.
So let's talk about how to reduce your cognitive load. If you have not yet experienced mental overload, deleting your memory, don't worry, it'll come to you. It comes for all of us eventually. Many of us go through our day certain that we'll remember everything that we have to do, only to find ourselves at the very end of the day or the week struggling to remember that status report or those team meetings. Or we find ourselves in a situation of being reminded about something we completely forgot that we promised to do. And I say this from personal experience, because unless it is written down, I swear I'm going to remember to do it, and it does not happen. And that's because things happen all the time. Small things pop up and take over our brain, and so we forget. And that's okay.
And it doesn't matter. Those of us who have been around a long time and remember the simplest systems. I think I started word processing on WordStar 1.0. And if somebody looks it up on Wikipedia, it's from like 1980-something, I guess, 90-something. It's really old. And it had menus at the top, and you had to do the Control F to find the menu. There was no mouse thing. If you saved a file, you had to like give it a code because you only had a certain number of characters. It was a really long time ago, and there were all these things you had to do to make it work for you. And all of the systems that we use have become so much more sophisticated. Like, nearly everything now has autosave. Like, the last time I didn't save something and lost it, I don't remember the last time I did that, because nearly everything has autosave. And yet, it doesn't matter how much more sophisticated those systems have become. There's still something I forget to do every day. It doesn't matter how sophisticated the systems are that we use to process our work or to manage our work. The work becomes more complicated at the same rate. And there's always something that we forget. So if you notice us, a manager tool staff, if you ever meet us in person, we're writing things down. That's why. Because we need to write things down just like you do.
I have scratch paper everywhere on my presenting day because if there's a thought in my brain and it does not get written down to come back later, I forget. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, missed it.
So. And everyone's like, but you've got your phone. Just like say it into your phone. Tell Siri. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter how good Siri is. I will still forget something. So.
And the key to good notes isn't just writing down what you did, but also why you did it too. Include your reasoning, why you chose one approach over another. What constraints shaped your decisions and what stakeholders influenced the outcomes? Because those couple words of like, that was great, it's not going to help future you figure out why you did this instead of that. Because inevitably, if you don't write it down, you're going to be like, but wasn't this an option? And why wasn't it the best option at the time?
Yeah, Alex and I were having a conversation this morning about why something worked the way it did on our website. It's like, because we decided that when we did X 5 years ago. Why? I don't know. I don't remember. And one way to help yourself take notes is the way we teach taking notes in the Effective Hiring Manager Conference. I learned this when I was a recruiter. I learned it from someone who taught me how to do it as an interviewer, which is you write down exactly what you hear, what that person is saying. You don't write down your conclusions. So if you're in an interview, you write down exactly what the person says. Because if you look at the interview notes a year later, you can still work out what your conclusions were or what your interpretation was. If you don't have what was actually said, you can't work that out from your conclusions. So if you only write down your conclusions, you can't recreate that situation. You can nearly always, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's an interview or work notes or a meeting notes or anything, you can nearly always work out what your conclusion was from the base information, but you can't necessarily work out the base information from your conclusion. Like what we ended up deciding this, but I don't know why, because I don't have the stuff we started with. So writing down exactly what happened or what that base information is rather than your conclusions is much more helpful.
And if you're curious, Wendy mentioned our Effective Hiring Manager Conference, that this is actually something that we make everyone sit down and practice because taking notes is not as natural if you're not used to it. So we actually have a good portion of our day where we are practicing taking notes to be able to capture the best information that we can use later down the road, because we haven't said it on these kinds of podcasts, but if you've ever been in our Effective Hiring Manager Conferences, you want to make a good hire. So yes. You don't want to mess up that process. And the good notes, that's where it starts.
It's really important.
And you're going to want to write these details. This is why we practice it in a language that will remain clear to you later when you're in a different context. For example, instead of noting updated client proposal, write updated client proposal to emphasize sustainability metrics after feedback from Maria that the board is prioritizing environmental initiatives this quarter. This context helps when you read these notes down the road. So even if it's a day later, or if you have to review this process a year later, you're going to want that context, because update the client proposal doesn't give you enough information to know what was happening at that
time.
What
did I start with? What did I ended up here. I can see that I ended up here, but what did I start with and why did I decide to make that change? And the stupidest person in the world is me a week ago or a year ago. You know, like, why on earth would I make that decision if you have the next?
I get so mad at myself when I have my incomplete notes because I know better.
Mm-hmm.
And the next line will be all of the context in the world, but the line that I need above it will be like, great idea. Like, that was terrible notes. So be consistent.
And if you haven't heard us say this yet on a podcast, we recommend you handwrite your notes. Because research suggests that the physical act of writing engages different processes than typing, which means you have better retention and documentation. I can't tell you why. It's something to do with the fact that writing shapes activates more areas in your brain, and therefore you're more likely to remember what you're doing. If college students, when they take notes on a computer, they tend to just type verbatim what the professor says. Whereas when you write handwrite notes, you have to abbreviate, you have to synthesize it to some extent because you can't write that fast. And that helps cement it in your brain. And I did look up, because we always get asked this, so I did look up to see if there was any research about handwriting on tablets. And the research says that it's almost as good as handwriting on paper. There's something about the tactile nature, they think, of pen and paper, which makes it 10% better. But if you want to handwrite notes on a tablet of some kind, it's nearly as good. It's much better than typing. So that's your get out clause there.
Yeah. And I would also have to say handwriting forces you to focus and listening. It has a lot more to do with like the multitasking, because we know when we're typing, we can type and come up with a grocery list in our head. But when you're trying to handwrite something, it really forces you to listen, to pay attention to what's going on. And that can be a huge asset for later down the road, because you might have not taken those very complete notes, but you're like, oh, I actually remember writing these words. And then you can add the notes later as well, because you're not multitasking. You have to focus. So by keeping notes instead of trying to remember everything, your brain has more energy for thinking and solving problems. Rather just expending energy trying to remember what happened in last month's project meeting, you can direct that cognitive power towards the analysis, problem solving, and creative thinking that you're going to need to move forward on in your projects.
It's kind of like, let the computers do what the computers are good at. Like, let the dishwasher wash the dishes and I'll do the creative cooking. Like, yeah. Take the notes, let the paper look after your memories, and then you do the creative stuff.
June 3rd and 4th, we're coming to San Diego. 2 days, effective management and effective communications. If you're in California, it's a great opportunity to learn the next steps to being a more effective professional and maybe see the beach. Better management, better communication, and network with other professionals in the area. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Next, using notes to learn. So taking notes speeds up your learning. When you are learning something new, the notes provide a scaffold on which to hang each of the pieces of knowledge that you're gaining as you learn something.
We don't question the need for notes when we're learning something complex. When we're learning something much easier, however, we tend to dismiss the need for notes because they'll slow me down, or I won't need them for long, so it's not worth the effort. Or it's only 3 steps I'll remember. I just have to laugh every time I think, I'll remember. That's almost like putting it out there in the universe that you won't. Right? You're like, no, I got this. I'll remember is like the death sentence to every memory I have.
Ever, right? Because our short-term memory is smaller than we think it is. What do you remember? Like 7 things plus or minus 1, something like that. That's the number of things you can keep in your head at one time. And actually taking notes moves what you're learning into your longer-term memory more quickly. In part because if you are taking notes, your brain has to process the information twice. It's listening, it processes it, but then it has to do another set of processing as you write the words on the page. And so that means that it creates a stronger pathway in your brain and it moves it back into your longer-term memory more effectively. Plus, if your brain is thinking, once you have the how, like, oh, you press these 3 buttons in this order, if that's written on the piece of paper, your brain can then work on the higher level stuff. Like, why am I doing this? Or how can I make this better? Or whatever. You have to capture the basics and put them somewhere safe to allow your brain to work on the more important stuff as you learn.
Yeah, and these notes often look different from your process documents or daily memory notes. They tend to be messier, with more questions, arrows, and personal shorthand. That's perfectly fine. They're primarily for your own learning journey. You might write, this step is confusing. Check with Priya. Or remember, always, that's in capitals, save before this step. These annotations reflect that you have a unique learning process. I don't want any of my learning notes, there's doodles, because it keeps my brain moving. So there's lots of arrows. And so, I mean, that's not the ones I send out to people.
Yes.
But no, but it does help my process.
Right. And actually, it's not just written words that are effective notes. Some people like benefit from color coding, others from mind maps or bullet points. We all have different methods of the way we write and capture information. And the key is like find the thing that works for you and works with your brain and whatever needs you have, and then use that method for yourself. When you're sharing information, you have to consider what other information other people need and the way that they will understand it. But when it comes to learning notes, or when it comes to the notes that only you're going to read, then find the way that works best for you and use that way, whatever it looks like.
Yeah, and learning notes are especially useful because they demonstrate that you are actually making progress when you're struggling. When you first start, your notes might capture every single click or command. And as you become more familiar, you'll naturally abbreviate, focusing only on the tricky things. So your steps get shorter, more abbreviated, more focused than when you first start of writing down every single thing, like essentially writing a script. And then that script eventually becomes an outline.
Mm-hmm. And unlike process documents, well, process documents too, but learning notes have a very finite lifespan, because once the process becomes automatic, when you can confidently perform tasks without looking at your notes, they've served their purpose. So they can be shredded or deleted. You've transferred that knowledge from the page into your memory. And now is the time when you write process documents so that that's a proper documentation that other people can read and understand of that process. And I started to say process documents don't have a finite lifespan, but of course they do. They need to be updated regularly because systems change, the way things are done changes. You might think of something, a better way to do something, or some other environmental impact, you know, outside of the process changes, and you want to change that documentation. So actually reviewing process documentation and making sure that it's up to date regularly is an important part of having notes and documentation.
Yeah, because if you look at how your notes started and then how they've changed, if you've been doing a process for over a year, it can be very interesting.
Yes.
Especially when you have to teach someone those skills. You're like, oh, that does not make sense anymore, because that's not how we do it.
Yeah, and I wrote that down and I never went back because I knew that it changed. Yeah, that's not good.
I have a couple notebooks full of that.
So we had 3: document your system, reduce your cognitive load, and use your notes to learn. That's 3 for this week. We'll be back next week with another 3 ways to use your notes. Bye, everyone.
Bye.